Public hearing number 4 is a subdivision and rezoning for the southeast corner of Main Street and Ridgecrest Avenue under file DASZ 22 of 2010.
Okay, who's our applicant here? Jim Watling?
Yep.
How are you doing? Come on up and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Jim Watling. I'm a land surveyor with Paul Wright Land Surveyors, 117 4th Street. This application is quite straightforward. We're trying to rezone a small portion of the property that fronts on Main and Ridgecrest from its current zoning of R1 to C2. It's consistent with the neighborhood along that strip. As you all know, that's been a new development that's gone in there with the new school happening and the commercial development to the north of the property. The proposal is basically for a retail professional office building to be constructed on that corner if we have the land rezoned. And the remaining of the land would, I have one question. With the remaining of the land, I thought I had applied for a zoning to remain as is, but I see in the report that it's RR5, and maybe Glenn or Kim could comment on that.
That question would go through the chairperson.
Keep going. Yeah. We'll take notes.
Right. So that was one of my concerns. My other concern would be the alignment of the proposed dedication for Scotia Street. No one shown on the sketch as parcels CH and N. I have no direction from the city where exactly that will be, and in light of where future development in those remaining parcels, sort of need to know exactly where that's going to be, because there could be invoke a whole bunch of land swaps happening if there happened to be a realignment of that property in the future. We don't have a problem with dedicating Scotia Street to get going through there. It's just that the alignment of it gives us a little bit of concern.
Our planner will address your question.
We're recommending RR5 for the residual lands in order to put them on hold so that they're not developed prematurely. We'd like to see the area developed in a planned fashion, and otherwise there wouldn't be control for that. Choosing the alignment of the parcels now is simply to have at least one option that's reasonably straight up to Ridgecrest. It's quite likely there'll be a new plan of subdivision replacing those parcels of the plan of survey at some future date, which would go along with the rezoning then as well.
We'd have to do for another rezone of the property then if, say, we wanted to put R1 single-family homes in there. That would have to be rezoned from the RR5.
Yeah, and it would still have had to have been rezoned from the R1E, right? Because I think the minimum lot area is 20,000 square feet in that case.
Right.
So,
good.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Watling.
Yeah.
Next up in support is Antonio Canosa. Antonio, you wish to speak?
No.
Just register in support, okay. Jerry McDonald.
No, I don't wish to
speak. Okay, registered in support. Bob Antimniak. Okay. Support. Mark McDonald. Support. Okay, great. Is there anybody else here who wants to speak to this matter in support? In support? Okay. We'll now move into those registered in opposition. We have Mark Newman. You wish to speak?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Mark Newman, 1700-360 Main Street. Let me at the outset indicate that I'm not here to oppose the rezoning. That's not the concern that I'm here to represent. I represent the developer of the surrounding area to the north, and there has been an issue relating to the costs of services that were put into this area. And that's what I'm here about. I'm here about Schedule C to the Administrative Coordinating Group report and what it is recommending in terms of services. And frankly, we became aware of this matter only yesterday, and this is a matter that we think would be better served by being laid over to allow an opportunity for greater discussions with administration. David Polubeski of Lombard North had some discussions, I believe, either late yesterday or this morning with Kim Raban. There is history to this matter that I've been involved in going back a couple of years, and as recently as this spring, there were meetings that were attended by Mr. Polubeski and myself with Mr. Raban and other senior members of administration concerning the issue of the cost related to the infrastructure and how the developer Ridgecrest that developed, not just the developer Ridgecrest, the developer Seven Oaks School Division as well, that front-ended the cost for all of the infrastructure to the north of Ridgecrest were going to be reimbursed. So that's the issue I'm here on. As I say, my initial submission to you would be to ask for the matter to be put over to allow for further discussions to address the costs. If ultimately the committee is not inclined to do that, then I have a submission to make to you to fully address the issue of costs. But as I say, ultimately it's a matter of cost recovery.
You should probably go through your whole discussion, your whole presentation.
Then let me have for distribution.
Go ahead, sir. Just
thank you. Page 21 of the report to this committee does contain a bit of an outline of the area. As I've indicated, these lands that are the subject of this development application are located to the south of Ridgecrest. The lands with respect to which my clients are concerned are the lands located to the north. It's the residential subdivision that is to the north, a portion of which can be seen on page 21 as well. There is the new West Caledona Collegiate that was built there, and the Seven Oaks School Division has a concern about that. As I said earlier, they entered into a development agreement with the city, and as part of that development agreement, they ended up front-ending substantially all of the costs of the infrastructure associated with this area. With the passage of time, there were some changes which, from my client's perspective, were somewhat of a surprise to it, and it resulted in increased costs because the sanitary sewer, which at one time had been contemplated to go north and tie into the subdivision to the north, turned out it had to go south, required larger piping, deeper piping, all of which led to additional cost. So what has happened here is that going back a couple of years, a local improvement was petitioned for, was approved by various committees and ultimately council, but an issue arose in respect of that local improvement because the amount to be recovered was not a full recovery. That led then to some meetings this past spring, as I indicated earlier, between representatives of my clients. I was present at those meetings, and as was Mr. Raban and other senior members of administration, to address the issue of the cost recoveries. That led ultimately to some further discussion, and you see the letter of June 3, 2010, which David Polubeski wrote to Mr. Raban, and in the bottom portion of that letter, the final paragraph, you see an indication that the city agreed that it would, as a condition of approval for any future development, recommend that the developer of the south sides be required to pay their share of various costs. When we became aware of this matter yesterday, and when we looked at the report prepared by the Administrative Coordinating Group, and now I'm at page 23 of the report, Schedule C in particular, we became aware that under Item B, which is headed Servicing Agreement, that's page 23, Item 1A related to charging on an area basis. And it related to, under item 1A, channelization of roadways and a suggested recovery of $4,051 inclusive of GST. Under item B, certain recoveries in respect of traffic control signals with a recovery of $4,610. On to page 2, item 2 dealt with some pavement oversizing required. Ridgecrest is a collector standard road, 30-foot concrete, 8 inches thick. The local improvement allowed recovery only of 25 feet, 6 inches thick. So there's a differential in the amount of the cost as opposed to what was recovered through the local improvement. And then you see at item 3 of the report, payment for the balance of the site being the remaining R1E lands, those costs were to be deferred until development of those additional lands. From our client's perspective, that's a matter of concern. They've front-ended these costs. This subdivision that's now going through will allow further development of the area to occur. And we don't think that our client, which has already front-ended the costs a couple of years back, which this developer to the south of Ridgecrest is benefiting from, should have to wait. The other document I've handed you consists of 3 pages. And what it is it's a calculation of the various costs that were incurred. I've handwritten some notes on it to make it easier to reference it back to Schedule C of the Administrative Coordinating Group report. Table 1, which appears midway through the first page, relates to the additional cost of the pavement, the 30-foot 8 inches as opposed to 25-foot 6 inches, and it ties into Item 2 on page 24 of Schedule C, and there it relates to the issue of the difference between the cost of $271,517 and the amount recovered of $247,627. So there's approximately $24,000 that's outstanding that is not really contemplated by the recommendations to be presently paid. Actually, I must correct that. That's item 2, and it is contemplated, but there's no amount specified. Then table 2 at the bottom of the first page of the second document I provided to you relates to the underground services. It relates to land drainage sewers, which had to be extended, as I've indicated to you. Here, the costs are typically allocated on a frontage basis. On that basis, the developer to the south should be bearing $376,107 of cost. I don't see in the recommendation any indication that the developer is required to contribute to these costs. Over onto the next page. Item 3, Table 3, is the pavement channelization that is dealt with in Schedule C. It's Item 1A on page 23, where the cost of cost stated to be recovered is $4,051. Here, on a percentage of the planned area, the cost share would be $30,053. Table 4 deals with traffic signals. That's item 1B on page 23, $4,610 stated to be recovered. Cost, again, on a percentage of planned area is $39,331. So, again, there's a significant shortfall. And then Table 5 is the oversized drainage for piping that had to go east to the Red River, and there's a cost of $64,809, and again, I guess that's item 3, perhaps, but again, it's not clear to us, where land drainage costs are stated to be dealt with on a deferred basis until the balance of the lands are developed. So these are all the issues in terms of which the city, through the meetings that occurred in the spring, had undertaken to address in the future if development occurred. As I say, we only became aware of this matter yesterday. We're concerned that what's being proposed by the Administrative Coordinating Group in Schedule C does not properly address all the costs that need to be recovered. As well, the timing from our perspective is not appropriate because it leaves us to continue to wait further until the R1E lands are developed. Yet these costs have been front-ended. This developer is benefiting from these costs, and we don't really understand why we should have to wait. So, as I said, our initial submission to you would be that this matter should really be laid over to allow an opportunity for proper discussion with city administration about the detail of these costs. I appreciate you're getting a lot of detail and a lot of numbers thrown at you with very little notice, but frankly, we were put in that position as well. And as I say, if the committee's not inclined to put it over, then ultimately the order that I would ask this committee to make by way of an amendment to the conditions would be one that would see all costs reflected in this additional document I provided imposed upon this developer, save and except to the extent that the costs have already been recovered through local improvements. Subject to questions you may have, that is my submission.
Thank you, Mr. Moran. Appreciate that delegation. Any questions of our Councillor Edie?
One question.
Yeah.
In these costs that you're referring to, does this include costs for sidewalks and that sort of stuff?
I think the answer is yes. I think the sidewalks were put in, but there's no cost
local improvement.
Sorry?
They're covered under the local improvements.
They're covered under the local improvements.
Mr. Nguyen, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Oscar, stand down. Also registered in opposition, I'm not sure where this person is. Walter and Gloria Sampson. Are you registered in opposition? Okay, come on up. Good evening.
My name is Walter Sampson. I live at 2392 Main Street. I think you're familiar with me. And I'm here not really in opposition. First, I have to ask a question before I get into opposition. I've seen no detailed plans of what's going to go on that corner, what it's going to extend to, and if it's going to affect my right-of-way. I'm landlocked, and the committee has passed by council before complete protection of my right-of-way. So before anything ever is addressed, I want to know if the committee lied to me before when they passed it, or that's the way it's going to be, if that's what the committee does.
Okay. Our planner will address that. Your question, sir.
The right-of-way is identified in the plan of survey. It'll run with the land.
Pardon me?
The right-of-way is identified in the plan of survey. It would run with the land.
But is it going to affect any businesses using my right-of-way?
What do you mean?
Well, like, I don't know what's proposed here. Apparently, you're proposing something on the southeast corner, and there's no detailed plans for it that I can see. And is there a parking lot going to come off my right-of-way or anything like that? Are they going to be using it? Because that's essential to me for medical purposes.
Well, the right-of-way you have runs with the land.
Huh?
So the new owner of parcels A, F, and L, which are the ones to be rezoned, they're obliged to give you the right-of-way across a portion of their land, which is identified as parcel F. So you would still have access to Main Street.
Yeah, but I keep hearing talk of Scotia running through from you people.
It's not happening at this time.
It's not happening at this time? But I just have to remind you that my right-of-way has been protected by council. It's been passed in 1980, I can't remember which year, but it's been passed fully for protection of my right-of-way, and I hope it stays that way. I hope somebody didn't lie to me, and every time you go to a committee and they keep changing things. Now, if it's protected, it's mine.
Your right-of-way is described in the title that you hold, and
yes,
the title of land on which you have a right to go to Main Street on.
The provincial judge said.
So it's registered in the Winnipeg Land Titles Office.
the provincial judge said to me that if anything's going to be done with it, it has to be negotiated. So I just want to remind the city. Okay? That's all I have to say. And is there any plans for this, by the way, that you can see that's being proposed here? I see nothing, just a piece of paper written, and that's it. Is there pictures or?
Yeah, or a plan or law.
There are no plans that are actually part of the application. There are some conceptual sketches that were provided. But in the planner's report talks about how the development should be. Like, for instance, it mentions having the buildings closer to Main and closer to Ridgecrest with the parking in behind.
Yeah, I have no problems with what they want to approve, but I just, as long as they keep my right-of-way separate from the public, because that's a must. Okay?
That's a legal matter with the title that you hold.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you, kindly. Appreciate that.
Thanks for your time. Is anybody here, who's in opposition that wishes to speak that I haven't called yet? Anyone for information? Okay. I'll call the applicant back up, Mr. Watlin. Respond to the information you were hearing in the delegation.
I'll respond to the last gentleman first. That, yeah, in fact, the plan of survey delineates his actual right-of-way on the plan of survey. He will still retain his 16-foot-wide driveway access through our applicant's property until such a time as it's no longer required, and that would be up to him to actually remove it off the title. So he has full control of the right-of-way. And it will be maintained so that he'll be able to cross it onto his property. There won't be any restriction on that. On the first matter, as far as the fees go, it catches me at a loss. I wasn't aware of anything that's, as far as our application is concerned, we're just trying to rezone the land. The city administration might be able to better speak to the fees that are owing and any deferred payments that are required. I understand that a notice has been sent to the owner of the land that he's responsible for some of these fees, but that's as far as I know where it's at.
Mr. Raven?
There was a prior to the development of the lands to the north, which Mr. Newman is representing, before they made an application to the city, there was a multi-party private agreement struck amongst the parties. And Mr. Kalajewski, on behalf of, I believe there were five parties involved, came to the city and said, we have this private agreement. We'll do all the stuff in the background, and we'll proceed to develop the land. I'll be the front end for the whole thing. And that actually made our lives very simple because there were several property owners involved, and we just had to enter into an agreement with one party to basically deal with fees and costs and charges related to the city. Not too far into that agreement, or into the development process, apparently that private agreement somewhat unraveled, so I hear, and quite frankly, the developer keeps on dredging up stuff that the city has no control over. We have an agreement with the developer that sets out how reimbursements will be made, how we will collect money and how reimbursements will be made, and we've been sticking to that. And part of this application is to continue that. We acknowledge, our report only puts forward the C2 site because that's the part being rezoned right now. And we know there will be a future application on the balance of land, so we did allow that that money to be deferred. The actual cost, I actually have some questions for Mr. Newman about the actual cost, but I have to say that the tables that Mr. Newman provided are generated as a result of their overall project costs. They have not been verified by the city, and quite frankly, they are not that. Some of them are not that relevant to the city. Like he alluded to the cost of wastewater sewer actually ending up being far in excess of how it was originally anticipated. Well, they made all those agreements and all those plans before actually submitting their plans for approval to the city, and there was a major cost differential, but nothing the city can really help them with. It is what it is.
Can I ask you a question just on that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when the city, I thought there was some, there was something passed. Just so you know, I was sort of involved with the Seven Oaks School Division at the time that a lot of this stuff was going on. There was a ruling that we had to front the money for those local improvements. And I don't recall that there was a specified dollar amount. Or was there a specified dollar amount set out, or was it... I'm just trying to figure out if the city does have responsibility in some way. Did they approve?
Well, the city is guided by the development agreement and the development agreement parameters and the city's local improvement bylaw, which sets out actually specific amounts that you're able to recover. A full range of local improvement bylaws were passed for the works in Ridgecrest Avenue, including...
But Mr. Rabin, those are not the amounts in question, are they? Because they're being levied on the tax bill?
No, they're not. But just to give an appreciation that several hundreds of thousands of dollars have already flowed back to the developer, mm-hmm. as payment for the work that he has done in Ridgecrest Avenue. The payments under scrutiny at the moment are for traffic signals at the intersection of Main Street and Ridgecrest, for channelization and improvements in Ridgecrest Avenue that make it bigger than a normal residential street, and also a pavement oversizing cost, and land drainage charges, because the developer to the north did construct an entire land drainage system that benefits this land as well. The land drainage cost was recommended to be deferred to the future development of the R1E lands because it really doesn't affect the C2 site. Now, this is a lot of detail, but suffice to say, I administratively believe we're on the right track to working with Mr. Newman and his developer to get payments to them in a timely manner. I do have some questions about the differences in the amounts because, as example in their chart, they have the traffic signals allocation on the second page, table number 4. The cost allocation of $260,000. Well, the actual final cost of the signalization was $192,000. And they make claims about the cost of channelization, et cetera. The city administration have not had the opportunity to verify those costs. So, and there's differences of, $24,000, $27,000. I believe we're not that far apart, but I cannot accept that what Mr. Newman says the numbers are, what the numbers are, without further verification.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Just as you know, there.
Any further questions of our administration? Councilor Sharma?
Yes, I would like to make a motion.
Councilor Sharma.
I move that the receipt of public care presentations be concluded.
You want the report be taken as read? All those in favor, contrary, carried.
Kim Rabin has.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Councilor. I left out one item. There is an item in Schedule C which, firstly, does not affect the developer to the north, nor any of the discussion that took place here, but we found it to be a a clause that was unnecessary and probably unnecessarily onerous for the applicant, being clause 8 on page 24 of the agreement.
I have a question on
clause 8, yeah.
Yeah,
clause 24.
Developer shall commute for the proposed C2 site consisting of 366.7 feet of frontage on Ridgecrest. The amount of the local improvement cost assessed against the property for services installed in Ridgecrest Avenue, which amount is calculated approximately as follows.
$141,017.
Just to explain, these are the cost of the local improvements that the applicant is currently paying for in Ridgecrest Avenue. They're already registered on the tax bill and being paid on an annual basis. And just through an internal miscommunication, it was recommended that they pay them up front. But there's really no need to. They can just continue to be levied on the tax bill.
So just to clarify, so what you're saying then is that these costs are being paid for,
yes,
but through a different avenue than this paragraph is talking about?
They're being paid for right now on the tax bill. What this paragraph does would require them to give us a lump sum payment for the entire amount. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't show.
Okay.
And there's really no need to do that.
One more question, though. It talks about the, a section of land there. What is that in reference to? 300 and...
Oh, that is the frontage of the C2 property on Richmond.
Well, so that was for calculation purposes.
Yes, yes.
Are you recommending that clause 8 be deleted?
Yes, I'm recommending clause 8 be deleted in its entirety.
So sidewalks are being built.
Yes.
Okay.
They're built already.
Councilor Sharma?
Yes, I have a motion that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in as amended and forwarded to the...
Actually, first off, it'd be that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
We did that already.
Yeah, but then we went back to Kim Raban. Yes.
So the Winnipeg Public Service be
taken as read. All those in favor? Contrary? Carried.
That the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service.
If we can just close public representations.
Okay.
Sorry, it's just that okay. Because Kim.
I'd like to move the motion that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?